Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. I've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight, I'm joined by Rod, and Rod is a returning guest to the podcast. He's a multiple-time caller on our live call-in shows. He's been on an episode with a fantastic set of encounters involving Yowies within the Pilliga, and he has returned to the podcast to tell us about how he's been having a couple of paranormal experiences all the way through his life, and one that was especially touching because he saw the ghost of his brother. So, Rod, welcome to the show, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Cade. Always a pleasure, mate. And always nice to touch base with you. We may as well dive straight in. As I said before, I tend to put things in boxes, and I don't like to join boxes up, you know, and keep them all separate. You go throwing paranormal stuff in with Yowie, and that certainly puts a shiver up my spine. I'd rather them just be a flesh and blood creature. keep the paranormal stuff separate. But no doubt, people have had experiences where they do intersect, and I must make mention of the trip up to the Sunshine Coast Yowie Trackers, and absolutely fantastic night. Great to meet everyone up there, and had a really special night. So thanks, guys, and Karen and Michelle, I'm sure that it was the big thumbs up from them as well. So we'll get into it. Okay, now this one that it really opened my eyes. So it was the last thing I ever expected, but I'll get into it, and you can see how poignant my brother coming back and giving a message was. Karen and I, this was the late 1990s. My two kids, they were in the back seat of the little sedan. And both were, as I said, back seat next to the windows with a gap between the seats, or their child seats. Karen was passenger and I was driving. Okay, so those that know the road, we were heading between Brisbane and Toowoomba, and we were on the Gatton Bypass. Now, we were on a section of road that had a medium strip in between us. And just cruising up to Toowoomba, and I will put my hand up and say I was slightly over the speed limit, but not by much. You know, I might have been 105, 106, and making good time. Anyway, yeah, just cruising along. Traffic was nice and light, and I was just driving, and I checked, always checking mirrors, and I looked into the rear vision mirror, and there between the two kids was my brother. Now, my brother had passed away a few years earlier, and in a truck accident. And yeah, my eyes shifted to the mirror, and here he was, sitting there. And to be honest, he didn't look too happy. There was sort of no smiles. It was just an ashen face. I recognised him immediately. Looked just like a person sitting there. So I never said anything to Karen, and I glanced a couple of times, and I immediately slowed down. Now, in that space of slowing down, I'd probably crept back just to under 100, and within probably 15 seconds, a semi-trailer on the other side of the road that was transporting these 8-foot hay bales, so the big round ones, it lost one of the hay bales off the back of the truck. And it bounced over the medium strip and in front of my vehicle at windscreen height. I reckon if I'd hadn't got the warning and been continuing it at a slightly quicker pace, I would have, we would have worn that hay bale straight through the windscreen, which was absolutely amazing. To watch that hay bale, just sail like a huge wheel through the front of us. It was amazing. Karen screamed. Kids didn't really understand what was happening. But it took me a little while to actually tell Karen what had happened and seeing my brother. But I take that as a warning from beyond the grave.
Yeah, and absolutely.
As I said, he didn't look overly happy to be seated between the two kids. There he was. Being a truckie, it was usually the old blue singlet and stubbies. And, it's just one of those things you'll never forget. So, that was the probably the start of my paranormal stuff. I can't remember too much more in my younger days of ever seeing anything like that. But, my brother and I were as thick as thieves. And, it was very sad, his passing. So, as I said, a warning from the grave, mate.
Wow, that is genuinely incredible. And this is the type of stuff that you hear about in movies where, like a guardian angel has come down to warn you about this situation. But this is exactly what your brother did. And my gosh, what a difference he made in that little split second that he was there.
Well, exactly, mate. Exactly. As I said, it all happened very quickly. It's interesting. When I get into some of the happenings at Ambley, reflections in mirrors and glass, they seem to be a commonality as well, I don't know if other people have, caught that, that fast moving reflection or something that is in a reflection, but you turn around and they're not there, I don't know.
Yeah, that's something that I do hear fairly often, and I don't know if that's and a lot of people genuinely speculate that that mirrors show, you know, a different dimension or a different point of view from what reality shows. And, you know, for all I know, that could be a genuine thing. But yeah, it's one of these things that I do hear fairly often, that people see something different in a mirror than what they're seeing with their normal field of view. And I find that really, really fascinating. But before we move on to the stuff with Amberlee, like, how did you feel about your brother being there? Because with him kind of passing on in such a tragic accident, did that really hit home for you, being in essentially a similar situation, him coming back to warn you about that?
It didn't sort of, it wasn't earth shattering, you know. I suppose it comes down to your fundamental beliefs, you know, and if you've got Christian beliefs and and there's an afterlife and you go to heaven and there's angels, it all ties in. As I said, it wasn't earth shattering. But certainly unexpected. I certainly jinxed my neck when I spotted him in the mirror and went back for a second look. But as I said, yeah, very ashen-faced, no expression. Obviously, he thought that was enough. I don't know. I really don't know. But, I am just grateful that he did do it, you know. The outcome, who would have known, you know. I don't know what sort of force an 8-foot rand hobale would have, you know, at 60 mile an hour, you know. It would have been catastrophic, you know.
It would have been devastating.
Yep, exactly. But, the way I felt... probably more relief than anything that he can show up, you know. And his timing was superb. He was he was never really punctual, but he was on this at this stage, right? So it was quite extraordinary. It certainly opens your eyes up to possibilities, mate. That's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I find a lot of people who come on this podcast, it kind of, they have that first encounter with the veil, so to say. And then from there on out, their life is infinitely different, because it doesn't usually just stop at that one encounter. It kind of just continues with them in lots of funny different ways. And this is kind of what happened to you when you were working in Amberlee. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly, mate. Exactly. Well, as I said, when I my first night shift there, and I met a security officer there, and he'd been there a long time. And everyone sort of thought he was a little bit weird, you know, but he basically came straight up to me and he said, I see dead people. And I was sort of raising eyebrows. But he was quite adamant, you know. And I don't know, he had some sort of connection, but I probably worked with him on and off for maybe 2 years. And he just loved walking in the dark, you know. And he was saying he was seeing these apparitions all the time. And so whether he was more open to it or not, I don't know. But as I said, that was my first night there. It's funny when night shift people are different people, I'm certain of it, you know. Yeah. And everyone has got a story to tell, you know. It's, you know, whether it's military working dog personnel. They certainly had some stories to tell as well. But general security force. I think just about everyone's experienced something. You know, it's really, really crazy. I put it down to number one, the base being there for so long. Number two, the people there, you know, that's their life. And I just think they find it very, very hard to move on, you know? And, that's what I put it down to. And then, throw in, you know, land or the landowners prior to the base being there. It's, very, 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 very interesting place after dark. You start talking to people, as I said, they've all got a story. And, I touched base with one of the other guards probably a week ago. And, she was reiterating some stories that had happened to her, you know. And, I remember that. And, I remember the circumstances of this area. And, she'd seen some really strange stuff as well. But, okay. I'll jump into... I'll jump into Amberley first up. Now, probably my first experience at Amberley, I was team lead one night, and I'd say between 1 and 2 in the morning. I do remember it was a little bit cool, so it might have been this time of year. And our guards were out and about, patrolling their areas. I thought I'd go for a drive. Anyway, so I spotted one of the guards his patrol area. So I called him up on the phone, and I said, "Oh, love to catch up and have a yarn, you know." And I said, "I'm just parked outside your area on the main road." So I pulled up, and he probably had maybe 10 more minutes in this certain area. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I switched the vehicle off. Now, this is starting to get out of sort of main building area, so it's starting to get a little bit less dense with buildings. Sitting there, and had the window down, and I could hear voices. Anyway, I instantly... You know, there shouldn't be anyone around at 1 to 2 in the morning, you know. Anyway, so I'm sitting there. I could hear these voices. I double-checked that the ignition was off. I made sure the walkie-talkie was off. Definitely nothing, no source from the vehicle. And sitting there, I could hear these voices. So I got out of the vehicle and... there's three buildings on the other side of the road. All the car parks are empty, so no one there at all. And I'm standing there, and I'm listening to these voices. Now, there was two distinct voices, and they were slightly muffled, but you could hear the general conversation. Now, this is where it gets interesting. I'm a ham radio operator. I know what radio chatter is, and the breaks between the conversation. So it was generally a do 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 do, and then a reply back, and then shh. Anyway, so I was listening to this, and I'm starting to get a shiver up my spine. But there was no explanation for it at this stage. And this conversation's going on between these two gentlemen. Anyway, I got my torch out and I walked up the road maybe 10 metres, and here's a memorial for an F-111 crash that had occurred involving a pilot and navigator from Amberley. And I just stood there in amazement, and then I realised what I was hearing was most likely their last conversation between the two of them. As soon as that hit home, and the conversation was still going. When that hit home, I about faced very quickly. Strangely enough, I was it really hit home, and I was quite upset. I jumped in the car, drove down maybe another 200 metres, rung the guy and told him I'd be down the road a little bit further. But that one it really stuck with me. When I realised what I was listening to, the old eyes started to well up, and I was pretty shaken. But it was almost like I shouldn't have been there, and I shouldn't have been privy to their conversation. So that's why basically I got out of there very, very quickly. I honestly don't believe I should be privy to that. So that was my first paranormal encounter on base.
Wow, what a first night on the gig. To be honest, like you wouldn't read about it to be completely transparent about all that, because to eavesdrop on someone's final conversation is so haunting. To hear whatever those last intimate moments would have been, I don't blame you for getting so emotional in that setting, because like you said, it is just truly, truly heartbreaking to hear whatever that was.
Oh, exactly, exactly. I was team lead that night. That wasn't my first night on base. That was I'd probably been on the job or on Amberley for probably 3 years, 2.5, 3 years when that occurred. But the word you used, haunting, it takes on many, many meanings. And I don't even know whether you'd call it an encounter. Eavesdropping probably fits the bill more, you know. It wasn't an encounter. It was auditory. Never sighted anything, but to hear the conversation. Oh yes, it took quite a while before I even discussed it with anyone on base. You know, the patrol officers and the other team members. But as I said, everyone's got a story. So that was my first one on base, and one I'll never forget, Don. Okay?
No, I don't think you would. It truly is. It's one of those types of encounters that just would leave its mark on you, and especially with it being your first night on the job, there's just so many special elements to that. But if your first night started off like that, were you kind of asking yourself, geez, what have I got myself into here? And now a quick word from our sponsor.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Well, in hindsight, with my first night there in the guard saying we saw a lot of stuff, you know, and saw dead people. And I suppose if you took him on face value, and the amount of things that have happened to other people, you know, it's interesting. It's very interesting, you know, and with our situation where single patrol officers, we're not two up or anything like that. We might meet up occasionally, but we're patrolling by ourselves, you know. So your eyes are wide open, you know. You're situationally aware all the time, which is a good thing, you know. It certainly keeps you on your toes. But when these things happen out of left field, very, very interesting. Okay, I'll get into the next encounters. Now, both of these occurred up at the mess. So, brand new mess. Probably a little bit of history, but as I said, they're not that old. But okay, so I caught up with another patrol officer, and we were up at the mess, and we used to meet up there and just swap notes, see how each other's night was going, and we propped ourselves up on a set of steps there. Nice wooden steps, and there was a little bit of a landing, and then the indoor mess area. So Al and I were yapping away as we usually do, and anyway, suddenly, now this was around midnight, so I'd say between 12 and 12:30, and we heard someone walk across the wooden floor in the indoor area. Now there was it was a brisk walk. They weren't combat boots. They were they had the hard sole, like a dress shoe. And there was there's more than half a dozen steps. It sounded like it walked from one wall towards us. It stopped at the bar. It rattled the bar grill, and Al and I only had to cover probably maybe six or 7 meters, and we were at the doors. So we were up there in less than 5 seconds, because there should have been no one there. And so we sprung up, and we had those doors cracked and looking in within 5 seconds, and there was no one there. And Al and I just looked at each other. Externally, I went around. Al went through. There was no one there. We put that down to some sort of ghost. I don't know how you explain it, but there was definitely something that had crossed that that beautiful stained wooden floor. And I tell you what, it certainly gave us something to think about, because there was no explanation for it. absolutely none whatsoever. And they were talking to the other guards. No one had experienced anything like that up there before, but we certainly had. So that was very, very interesting. As I said, the shoe was a soft based shoe. It was definitely a dress shoe, and it just strayed across. And once you hear something like that, you never forget it. So another interesting one there at the mess, Kay.
There's something creepy about the sound of just footsteps going to nowhere that just kind of makes my skin crawl.
Well, when we cracked those doors, I honestly thought there might have been a member in there. But to see no one and to hear no footsteps retreating, like, as I said, the footsteps came up towards us and rattled the bar. If there was someone there, they would have been at the bar. But we heard no one retreat back. So, that was very, very interesting.
You know, there's something about army bases that just seem to get these hanger-ons there. And I don't know what it is.
Mate, I honestly believe because it was their life, they don't want to leave, you know? They're there doing their job still. I don't know, whether it comes down to circumstances of their death. They don't want to leave. They don't want to leave, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It is rather, rather interesting because I've had quite a few people contact me about the Pukapenyu army base. And like how many encounters people have had there, really quite, it blows my mind. I would probably get one or two every month of people saying, hey, I just listened to that episode and I've experienced something in the same room or somewhere similar. Can you kind of reach out to the original person? And I would honestly think that there could be a Facebook group out there for people who have had paranormal experiences on army bases. It's mind-boggling how often it happens.
Oh, it's incredible, eh? It is incredible. I'm certain there's military members and us contractors. They've had experiences, and maybe more frightening than mine. But they're loath to say anything, you know. But generally, I have no dramas talking to anyone on base about what happened today, because in most cases they'll open up and say, well, this is what happened to me.
Absolutely.
And that puts a real killer off your spine, you know. But, so I'll get on to the next one. This also occurred up at the mess. And I was on the other side of the mess. The footstep one was on the officer's side. And the next one occurred on the sergeant's side. And I just started my building check. And I'd walked up to the main glass doors that went into the eating area and the bar area. So I've walked up to the door, I've placed my hand on the door handle, and I've looked into the reflection of the door. It's sort of, it's hard to describe, something didn't feel right, but it was probably something just caught my eye initially. So I'm standing there and I'm looking at my own reflection, and I start to look up and I realise I'm seeing probably half half a face and a giggle hat. So this person or ghost was a big unit. He was directly behind me. He was a very large man. He looked young. I would have said maybe 30 at the most, but a big boy. He would have probably stood maybe 6'5", 6'6", and he would have had 6 inches on my shoulders. He was in cams. I could see the cams on top of his shirt and the cam giggle hat. And I hadn't heard or seen anyone because I basically walked in and started and checked. There was no one there until I saw this reflection in the glass door. I can honestly say I never missed a beat. The train of my eyes went up, saw this person, and immediately my hand came down on the door and I just slipped straight through that door and closed it behind me. And I never looked back. I just kept going, but I know exactly what I saw.
Wow.
And yeah, I never missed a beat, mate. There was no way. There was no way I was going to just not keep going. I could feel no ill intent. It was just one of those things. Again, inner reflection, like a mirror, but this was a glass door, but it certainly picked up the reflection of this person. And I immediately knew what it was, and I just kept going. As I said, mate, there was no way I was stopping. And I got to the other side and called it quits, walked back around to my vehicle and got out of there.
I don't blame you, Rod. If I saw a ghost, an entity, or whatever that was, that big, that imposing, it's not something you're going to hang around for and kind of find out why it's there looking at you.
Well, mate, that's the perfect word, imposing. And what I saw was certainly imposing. But there was no, to me, there was no ill intent, there was no sort of grimace or, wrinkled forehead or anything. I don't know. But this is the difference between paranormal encounters and Yowie encounters. With Yowie, you can sort of gauge the intent, hopefully. But, paranormal. Whether they just slip in and out of this world, I don't know. But, that was, again, a very, very creepy encounter. So, that one sort of hangs. Well, they all hang in the memory, but, there's a certain sadness involved. And that's probably the hard part of any paranormal encounter. It usually involves death,
Yeah, so, or it's attached to some form of tragedy or something like that. And that's why I think a lot of people have a lot of fear for the paranormal, because there's a sense of nastiness attached to it before it even became the paranormal.
Mm. Yes, exactly. I don't know whether it involves things that we shouldn't be seeing, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Or they just want their presence felt, I don't know. I don't think anyone will ever know. So, So that was the two up at the Met. Now I'll get on to basically the area where the last three sort of very interesting stuff happened. You can make all sorts of conjecture on why, but very, very interesting. These encounters occurred out in the sticks, basically. New building, out in the sticks, no history. Or was there history, you know? This is where I'm saying previous occupiers of the ground and maybe disturbance of that area with the new building going in. I don't know. But just a quick point. With the occurrences out here, we have a very healthy wildlife population there on Amberley. It's a fauna and flora sanctuary. And, a lot of wildlife. Now, what I have noticed, which is pretty handy before you get into the area, if there's a lack of wildlife as far as kangaroos, and there's a lot of kangaroos, what I noticed was a total lack of kangaroos and wildlife in the area when something has happened. I don't know why, but I use that as a gauge. It's usually a very quick in and out if there's no sign of wildlife there. So, I don't know if it's a precursor to any activity. But, this area, just a normal patrol of the area and the building. Now, my patrol vehicle at that stage was a Duracab Nissan Navara, four-wheel drive. And so I'd jumped out, done my checks, got back to the vehicle, jumped in, and I was doing some paperwork, and there was three sharp raps on the driver's side rear passenger window. So the rapping on the glass was probably within 30 centimetres of my ear. And it was just like someone wanted to get in the back door. Anyway, my eyes instantly went to the rear vision mirror, the driver's rear vision mirror. There was no one there. A split second, I was looking down the side of the vehicle. I jumped out. Any person in that area I would have seen because of the open ground, vehicle headlights, vehicles parking. There was no one there except someone trying to gain my attention, and I can tell you they certainly did that. I got back in the vehicle pretty shaken because I knew I'd experienced something rather extraordinary again. And got out of there. I don't mess around when I'm in that area now. There's no way I'll sit there and do any paperwork. It's just in, job done, out and gone. That was my experience there. Now, one of the squadrons had a new garden installed, and in that garden they placed a tree from on base. It was a fallen tree, very old, and the Aboriginals had carved a basket out of bark, and it left a scar on this tree. And so they moved it up and they placed it in their garden. So I don't know. I just try and give explanations to things, and I could be dead wrong, but you know, moving you could almost call it sacred, I suppose. It was certainly utilised by the Aboriginals in the area, moving it out of its place and up to a squadron. I don't know whether that brought something into play. I don't know, but so that was my experience. And as I said, I don't hang around there. No longer than needed, you know. I haven't managed to talk to any of the boys up there. Whether they've got stories to tell, I'm not sure. But now with our patrols, we rotate through our areas. And again, my mate Al, he gets a shot at that area as well. Now, Al's a man's man, you know. Nothing fazes him. He's the sort of bloke you want on your side. Anyway, I was patrolling an area maybe 2 or 3 minutes away from this building, and Al was doing the checks there. Anyway, again, early morning, and I got a phone call from Al, and he said, I'm up at this building. And I said, mate, I'll be there ASAP. So I was up there within 2 or 3 minutes. And I was standing there with a quizzical look on his face. And, just confused. And I said, mate, what's happening? And he said, I know you've had stuff happen here. And he said, explain this. And I said, well, explain what? And he said, walking around the building, I could hear someone walking on the other side. Now, the other side of the building, on the west side, they use pebbles in the garden. And he actually did two laps. and listening to someone or something walking on the other side of the building. You know, moving with, it might be, it's not that wide, you know. You can, and in that early morning, there's no noise. And as I said, there was no animals either. That was the first thing I noticed when I was driving up to him. I thought, oh, his chances are he's experienced something, you know. But yeah, he was quite adamant he could hear someone on the other side of the building, and just keeping that other side of the building, or the building between it and him, you know. So, as I said, he sort of gave me that knowing look, Rod, I believe you now. So, well, yeah, that was interesting. Okay, so that was Al's first experience there. And it was probably within 3 or 4 months, same scenario. Again, I'm 2 or 3 minutes away, which is always handy. And, Al was, again, patrolling this building. Anyway, I get the phone call, and I said, mate, I'll be there. I'll be there very, very quickly. And I arrived, parked in the car park, and Al was standing there, and he's usually got a few words to say, but he was very, very quiet. Not. And I said, mate, what happened? He said, well, I haven't touched anything. Anyway, I stepped back and I looked, and I understood exactly what he was talking about. And I said, well, explain to me what happened. He said, well, started to do the lap of the building. And he said, as I got to the car park, I could hear this beeping noise, and which was strange because, you know, the only thing that makes beeping noises is the vehicle. And as he came around the corner and he's hearing this beeping noise, he turns the corner. He's basically looking directly at his patrol vehicle, and all four doors are open. And, And, yeah, he basically said that he hadn't moved. All he did was reach for the phone and call me. And he was pretty loath to go anywhere near the vehicle until someone else was there. But, yeah, something had popped. All four doors, and they're all open. So,
I wonder if he's having run-ins with Yowies.
No, as always, got a smile when I mention Yowie. are you meaning a general, owls out in the bush sort of thing, or owls on base and these things are?
Well, when he's out in this new location, like when he's out in the sticks, it seems like rather odd behavior, like almost like a little bit mischievous.
I would never put it down to the alley because mainly we've got a 10-foot high security fence. they'd be doing very well to get home. And yeah, there's enough cameras on base, mate. So I put this strictly down to paranormal, you know. But yeah, it's when I stood back and realised and looked, I went, oh wow, you know, this is really insane, you know. Again, Al took the same route as me, you know. In, out, get the job done and gone, you know. Yeah, so but yeah, it's as I said, it's a very, very interesting place to work. Everyone's got a story, and realistically, you're gonna, at some stage you're gonna experience something, you know. It's whether your mind's open to it. You know, you can put down various explanations, but realistically, what I've gone through tonight with you, to me, there's only one explanation, you know. But they can say what they want, but that's what's happened to all my accounts of the coming up on 14 years of Amberley, you know.
It definitely sounds like a super, super active place. And with it being an army base, I'm really not surprised by that. And, you know, I love the fact that you've come forward and you've shared these encounters. And not only that, like you've also expressed heavily the amount of encounters that your workmates have had. And I really hope with you coming on the podcast, it gets more security guards coming forward, because I think there's a lot of untold encounters that happen that these people just feel like maybe they're alone, or I don't know, there's a fear of ridicule. But I mean, anyone who listens to this podcast knows that's not the case. But yeah, with people like yourself coming forward with so much history at working at one place, it really adds a lot of credence to all the encounters that you've been sharing with us.
Well, Matt, I think it's a case of, something happens. You put it in a box and chuck it down to experience, you know, because you just never know when the next one's going to occur, you know. Like I made mention of catching up with one of our female guards on my last rotation, and she brought back stuff that I saw happen, but I was far enough away probably that it didn't worry me too much, and it wasn't in my area, you know. But I remember nights there, we had an oldish building, and it was near flight line, and it was notorious, absolutely notorious. The cleaners would go into this building and ask the occupants after hours, if it was all right if they went in and did the cleaning. That's how rich the history was of this building. But I remember, now this same building, I remember being on the other side of the base, and you could see the lights, and you'd be on the other side, you'd glance over, because you're always checking for lights and strobes and audible alarms, and you'd look at this building, you know, probably 2 kilometres away, and the upstairs lights would turn on at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know there's no one in there. And yeah, that was quite a regular occurrence for these lights just to turn on by themselves. But because I didn't experience too much down there. As I said, I did see the lights come on, and they shouldn't have. But speaking to a lot of the guards, they certainly had experiences there that really unnerved them, and they called for backup and all the rest of it, with people being seen where they shouldn't be seen. Get the guys in, and there is no one there, you know. And descriptions, old style uniforms. You know, the big handlebar moustaches twirled at the end, you know, and old leather briefcases. And, that was the general descriptions of people being seen in this area. But, thankfully, I never saw any of that. But you're made well aware by the other guards that they've certainly seen things down there, you know. So, mate, as I said, a very, very interesting place to work.
Absolutely.
And, mate, certainly we'll keep you informed.
Oh, mate, please do.
It's been a while since I've experienced anything paranormal, but I think I've had my fair share, you know. But as I said, I'm pretty quick to move on. I don't hang around today, but it's very interesting, and just to talk to people. As I said, everyone who does the nights, they've all experienced something. I'm certain of it, you know. And everyone's willing to just sit down and have a good yarn, you know. And tell me what they've seen, some of the stuff, holy dooly. There's ghost dogs and all sorts of things, ghost handlers, and crazy stuff. So, mate, that's my tales from Amberley. So, it's been an absolute pleasure to tell you and the listeners about my job and what I've encountered over the years.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.